This is tape two of the February 12, 2005 public meeting of the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired.
Those are the main things. And so we've had a number of conversations with our previously appointed Attorney General representative. That person has left the AG's office, and we have not heard back yet from the Attorney General's office with a new appointment, even though we requested to have that happen as soon as possible. We haven't had a word, so I'll be following up on that to see where that's at. Maybe Bill will put a word get him going down there. Anyway, let's see.
How much money, I mean, if it's so off its operation is whatever, I mean, how much money then is the, you know, the split with the blind vendor, and then what, you know, guys comes into the state enterprise?
What I remember is that I don't remember what the split is, and it's worked out in a contract, but I do recall that the projections are the blind vendor in this case could expect about $100,000 profit a year, and it's about $1.5 million operation, if I remember that right.
And so the $100,000 would be how the business enterprise system does its split and what it assesses and everything, that'd be based on the $100,000.
Right. Don't quote me, but that's
that's whatever amount it is. Yes. That would be the full amount that would be.
So then that would be the salary the vendor would make a year, or
You could look at it that way. It's a net profit because it is closer to independent business person as opposed to a salary. The net profit is the amount that from which we compute the amount that will go into the set aside that comes into the agency. And so we were projecting $19,500 just from that one vending operation would be added to set aside each year. Mm-hmm. And I think our total set aside is in the maybe 23,000, so you can see that. Mm-hmm. That's pretty significant.
Mm-hmm.
I think legislation, well, we'll talk about LB 55 later, but I'm probably going over time now. Did you have other questions or comments?
I was just curious. You said it was going to be a really big operation. Do we have any idea? You know, the vendor will take, if they get the opportunity, will take it over. How many people might work there under him? It's that big of an operation?
I don't know for sure what the, I know that, no, I can't answer that.
Okay,
one.
That's fine. I was just curious.
Yeah, it's fascinating, really. It's, you know, a lot of opportunity. Oh, I would guess I was going to tell you, the Attorney General that was working with us was very concerned that it would, you know, it would be just this teaming partner would take advantage of the Randolph-Shepard priority and just, you know, kind of have the blind person in there as a figurehead that just didn't really do anything. And the potential is there, yes, but as I said, that's part of why we and the vendors would work very hard, even in the development of the contract to start with and in the way the thing is carried out, to make sure that doesn't happen, because that is not the point of Randolph-Shepard.
No.
And that's also why we're consulting with these other folks, blind vendors who are doing it, to make, you know, see how they've made sure it was really active management and partnership. We're learning a lot, I'll tell you that much. I think that's all I need to say at this point. Thank you very much.
Okay, and thank you. The next item is public comment. Does anybody out there have any questions for Pearl? Or comments about anything?
I'm glad you emphasized the importance of having the blind individual actually involved in doing the effective management of the facility. Because I remember some years back, they had established what I think they called the Jennings Randolph Emporium somewhere in one of the big political buildings down in Washington, D.C. And I think people from the NCSAB went to visit the facilities as it was a sort of a showcase place. Some people at that time called it the future of the Randolph Shepherd program, and they wanted to talk to the blind vendor in charge, so they went to some individual who was a sighted individual who appeared to be in charge of the operations at that point in time, asked if they could see the blind vendor, and he didn't know where he was.
Down in Florida.
Nothing like that. Yeah. Happened here. And it looks like you're taking measures to make sure that doesn't happen.
Right.
But I assume there's no guarantee that the partner at this point in time, whoever that might be, can guarantee getting the winning bid, right?
Well, there's no guarantee, but of course, with the priority, if they're right.
They would have a leg up in the sense that if the bid submitted is in fact a bid submitted by the commission as opposed to the private vendor, then of course the preference, if it's within a competitive range, goes to the state licensing agency, and that would probably represent a commercial advantage from the standpoint of the partner.
You bet. I'm sure that's why they want to get into this sort of thing.
Yeah, well, fortunately, I'm not a cynical individual, but I would certainly be suspicious.
Yeah, the teaming partner that we're working with, we're discussing and negotiating with, has been active with vendors that represent both the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of America and National Association of Blind Merchants. He's worked with both of them and seems to be well respected and so on from a lot of different vendors. So that means a lot to us. So that's really the main reason we're going with him.
Now, has the actual bidding process been initiated?
No.
What you say, the current contract is up in October?
Right. May 1st, I believe, is when the bidding begins. We're trying to be ready by then.
Well, will the bid be actually submitted over your name, or how is that part of the process?
I don't know for sure.
I mean, if it's just then for the corporation, they will be in competition with anybody else who might want to submit that bid, so
right.
I think it has to be over your name.
Exactly how it works, I can't tell you, but yes, it's done in a way so that, I mean, it is the SLA state licensing agency doing the bid. But it's in partnership, so exactly how it's worded, I can't tell you.
Okay, any other comments, questions? Well, it looks as though we are running about half an hour early. And if we don't have, nobody has a problem, do you want to go immediately to the lunch item, which is the next thing on the schedule?
I'd say we go to 11, just continue this until 11:40.
Okay.
The mm-hmm. regular lunch schedule.
All right,
that's good.
If that's consensus. Mm-hmm. The next item is old business, and the first thing is the rule update.
Yes, the rule. well, first of all, I'd like to thank Barbara for catching some errors that we made in the explanatory note in the cover letter. I don't know why we missed those, but we'll be correcting that. There were a couple of minor things stated incorrectly. In your email to me, Barbara, you asked if that would really be something that would follow rule and be a problem. It isn't part of rule and it won't, but we certainly will submit the corrections to, and I think those went to the governor and the attorney general's office and clerk of the legislature. Is that right, Val? But whoever all got that, we'll send that correction. There were two things. I don't know how we missed them, but anyway, I'm glad you caught those. As I said a minute ago, we have not heard back from the attorney general's office with someone to, and the next step is our designee in that office goes through the rule to make sure that it's all correct and that state laws are complied with in every part and so on. So if nobody's appointed to us, we can't expect any action on that. So that's disappointing, but we'll hope that that's in the works. I suppose with the new, with the change in governor and those kinds of things that they're involved with other kinds of changes, but still, we would hope that they'll be, you know, have us on their radar screen.
They're busy with legislation also. That's a busy time for the Attorney General's office, too.
That's true. Right. Thank you.
Okay, so we'll wait to see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay, the next item is the budget update.
Okay. Yes. No, thank you. Barbara mentioned earlier the budget hearing for our state budget is February 24th. It's a Thursday, and it's at 1:30. At this point, it appears that we are first on the agenda. Of course, that can always change, but just so you know. We don't have a location yet, I don't believe. So we'll send that, you know, when we do have that. I'm sure written testimony and letters and such are also very much encouraged. And especially if you have a senator who is on the committee, the Appropriations Committee, I would encourage you to contact them and talk with them about the importance of state funds for the budget. It, just as a reminder, our current appropriation of general funds for the fiscal year that we're in right now is $531,068. And we requested for next year $727,266. Mm-hmm. The governor has recommended that we get $541,796. So just mm-hmm. basically $10,000 above the current. And of course, you know, our rents go up, salaries and benefits go up, other costs increase. We had quite a large jump in the workers' comp amount that we have to pay. We've had some unemployment one unemployment claim that we had to take care of, and that's almost done. But there are a lot of different things that have really impacted our overall budget. We've spent quite a bit of time lately looking at shortfalls in just even the current year to get us to, of course, we work in both the federal and the state fiscal year, so when I talk about budget, it depends which part I'm on, whether, but in general, we really, we are short, and we're doing everything we can to kind of change how we do business. Basically, we've got about a $3.4 million program in terms of the expenditures and the things that need to be taken care of to do our job, and we have about $3.2 million funding. In previous years, we had quite a bit more Social Security reimbursement to utilize. That has not been nearly what it was this past year. And that's unpredictable. You know, we don't know what it will be in future years. So that's certainly not something we can depend on. So there just are a lot of factors involved with that. And so things are very tight. If we only get $541,000 from the state, we will definitely have to make some pretty difficult choices. Even if we do get quite a bit more, we still may be looking at some choices that nobody's going to be too happy about. But we're trying to do look at how we can manage that as effectively as possible. And so, if anybody wants to donate a couple hundred thousand to us, we'll be happy to accept it.
Now, I when it comes to some of the budget things, were you pausing or were you?
I was pausing. I don't know how much more to tell you. I've got lots of data here I should talk a little bit about the comparison between the commission and the voc rehab general agency state funding. If I can go into that a little bit. This spreadsheet that Bill put together for us, the font is about 2, so it's a little hard to read, and I'm not kidding either. But basically, what we've looked at is, how does state legislature fund rehab for the blind versus how do they fund rehab for the other disabilities? The voc rehab agency, incidentally, is very supportive of us looking at this because they think that the state should fund all of voc rehab and not just one part. A way to look at this general funding to the total funding. And we're looking at Title I, which is the 78.7 federal to 21.3 match, or state is how it was intended by Congress. If we look at the current state fiscal year, and actually back several years, the voc rehab, that's the general agency, has received 23% and 24% for the past 4 years. The Commission for the Blind, and I mean percent of their total of their federal funding, in other words, the match, what could be 21.3. Okay, they've gotten 23% and 24% of their funds. The Commission has gotten 14% and 16%. And so, obviously that's a discrepancy. The way when the state, the federal people make appropriations to each state, and then within a state, it's the state can determine if they're going to have two agencies, which of course Nebraska does, and then if so, what that split should be, how much should go to the blind. In Nebraska, it is 15.5% of federal funds come to the state agency. The commission, the blind agency. And so another way we can look at these numbers is, then it might make sense for the general funds, state funds that are appropriated for voc rehab, wouldn't it make sense that 15.5 went to the Commission for the Blind. So we looked at that, and it is currently 12.09, last year 12.1. The highest was in 03 was 12.76.
What would the 15.5 be this year?
What would the figure be?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. That I'd have to compute that differently. We started looking at the 10-year comparison of how the two agencies are funded. But that'd be a good thing to check. Mm-hmm. Now, if Bill were here, which I told him he didn't need to be, he could punch a number, and I bet he'd tell you, but I can't.
Carlos, yeah?
Yes, sir.
But if you just take a look at how much the governor is recommending this year, meaning just $10,000 more, so it's very much almost the same percentage than last year.
Right. Mm-hmm. And actually, maybe, okay, so we can... The governor's recommendation for the general agency in general funds this next fiscal year is $3,950,000 plus change. But so I suppose if we added up 3,955,59 plus 541,798. Mm-hmm. Somebody could compute that.
4.5 million.
Would you like me to check on that for sure?
Well, I just want, you know, so we had the, so this year's number was
12.09.
So I guess if we knew the amount that we're getting and divided that by 12.09, that'd give us the 100%, and then we could do 15.5% of that, and that'd be what the comparable state amount should be, but if nobody's got a calculator.
I do have a calculator.
Yeah, I could figure that out when we're having a break. I don't want to.
Yeah,
And we could all, I mean, we could add those two.
Because obviously it'd be nice if the legislature just say, oh man, you guys asked for 700,000. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just so right, here it is. But,
yeah.
You know, it's probably going to be somewhere in between. And mm-hmm. So, you know, to try and for them to come up with some logical amount,
right.
I mean, give them, you know, a larger logical amount. And
okay.
So to do that again, Bob, you would,
we'll take the amount they're giving us and divide that by the 12.09%. And that'd give you the 100%, and then multiply it by 15.5.
Would it be the same thing to add the two general funds, and then you have the total of general funds that the governor is recommending, and then figure out what...
15.
Well, no, because
no.
That's we want the amount to be increased. So
yeah, we want the, yeah, you know, the 15.5%.
Right. Yeah. Anyway.
So just take the amount they're giving us and divide that by the 12.09, and then that'll give you the 100%, and then you can take that times, you know, 0.155, I guess, and that'll be the amount of, that'd be the, would be at least the 15.5, which would be some mathematical equivalence.
Mm-hmm. Were you doing that, Barbara, on your...
the amount is 541 or something like that?
Let's see. The amount the governor recommends, is that where you want us to start, Bob?
Well, whatever number is the 12, we have the percent.
Yeah.
The 12.
Okay. 541,796, I think.
Okay, and then we take 12.
So yeah, divide that number by
12.09%. Of that? Doesn't make sense to me.
I'm having trouble following.
Following that.
I think
because
that
times.
I think we have to we have to multiply something, don't we? Don't we have to
get your
multiply 12%
because I'm getting 65503.136. But that doesn't sound good. I mean, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, I'd play it a couple, but you'd either divide the to start with the 12.09, then divide by the, because it wouldn't be a multiply, it'd be a divide.
If I just did it right, the total we end up with is $694,610. Which is less than what we were requesting.
But a quite a jump up from...
Yeah, quite a bit more than what the governor was. So, I don't know. Anyway, that's another little track. We've been working at this sheet with the comparison of 10 years and the two agencies to make it comprehensible. And then we're intending that this will go to all of the senators on the Appropriations Committee and maybe all the senators in the legislature. Is that what we talked about, Carlos? Or?
So far, we thought the Appropriations Committee for sure before the hearing, but it's not a bad idea to send to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's always an interesting thing to try to figure out, okay, when do we do exactly what? Because, you know, if you submit certain kinds of things before the Appropriations Committee has really dealt with them, and other members of the unicameral start, you know, influencing them based on what they're seeing and what their thought is, then that can either be a good thing or a bad thing depending on how it goes with them.
Well, wasn't there an agreement a couple of years ago before all the additional slashes that the commission's budget was going to be incrementally increase, you know, to because of the whole conflict about how much money SHS
those guys
actually what they broke out, and there was pointed out to them that they gave us less than they should, and so there was kind of the legislature agreed to up the commission's budget to over a couple of years, and but then the slashes came mm-hmm. on top of that.
There might have been agreement to the concept that maybe it should increase. There's certainly never any commitment in writing or in law. That'd be a good thing. You can get your senator to propose that.
Yeah.
What else about that? Okay, now I'm pausing.
Okay, well, I did have a question about, and it's just a good thing that I'm not, you know, the business manager or whatever, because a lot of this stuff, I think I start understanding it, and then I look at it again, and I think, well, maybe I don't. And I don't, I'm unclear about the breakdown things that happened concerning the cash fund thing and those numbers going up and down. And I don't understand that.
Okay, the cash fund is comprised of two main things. One is business enterprise, the fund that's set aside from the vending operations. And then it also includes funds that we get from other entities. For example, we have had a student here that just completed training who actually is a vocational rehabilitation counselor in another state. He's a blind man who was hired as a VR counselor but really did not have skills or confidence. And the state decided that they valued him as an employee, but they wanted him to have better skills, develop his skills and his confidence so he could be a better professional. We did have a spot open in our center training, and so they sent him here for some months and paid us for training. And so that money goes into the cash fund. Now it's not necessarily can be used for match because, well, that part definitely can't be used for match because it comes from another state voc rehab agency, so it's federal funds or other funds that's used to match the federal funds. Also, with the set-aside cash part, you can only use for match what you spend. And part of what we're trying to do with the set-aside is to build it up so that when there are opportunities for new sites, that we'll have some money to buy the machines needed for those places. And a couple years ago, we had to turn down a pretty good opportunity because it was going to take, I don't know, I think it was $100,000 to buy the machinery, the equipment that would be needed to open the vending facility there, and we just simply didn't have it. So, you know, if you spend all of it every year to keep the old machines up, obviously when there needs to be upkeep and repair or machines replaced, we do that, definitely. But if you, you know, never let it build up a little bit, then we would be guaranteed never to be able to take advantage of new possibilities. So you can't use it for match unless you spend it. So just because there's X amount of money in the cash fund, the set-aside part, doesn't mean that amount can be used for match. Now, I don't think that's exactly what your question was, Barbara, but that's maybe hopefully a piece of it.
Yeah, that is part of it. Okay. I just, you know, I was trying to figure out, it seemed like the, you know, the numbers weren't, you know, I was having trouble, I think, partly reading the thing, and I hadn't figured out what question I needed to ask to see, you know, to figure out how to read it, because, you know, when it lists the column headings, and then you have to try to remember what those were when you're reading the numbers, it's really kind of, mm-hmm. kind of a puzzle. I'm continuing to try to figure out how I can make, you know, my system or some system put this stuff out so that I don't have to memorize a bunch of stuff in order to figure out what it means.
Right.
And so, but that part does make sense, you know, the whole trying to build it up, so that means it's not available for match, and if we use it for match, then we can't get new places. Now that's, that was one of the parts of it that it was good to have re-explained. I know you've done it before.
That's fine, I don't mind. You know, one of the things, I guess I want to comment on the business of having that gentleman from another state come and get training, and we've had some times that, Washington State sent their entire center staff to us for a week. Now, they didn't pay us for it, but we had an opportunity to make a real difference in rehab in another state for the blind. So that's pretty exciting. And we
didn't Oregon send somebody?
Oregon, that's what I meant. Thank you. Forgot. In the next month here, Idaho is going to send not their whole center staff, but their new center director and a number of their center staff to come and spend some days here. And of course, we always learn from other people as well, but you know, it just, this is a national program. And so when we have a chance to impact services in other areas, I think it's part of our commitment, part of what we're here for.
Yeah, I think that's exciting. Does anyone else have questions about the budget? Was there anything else you wanted to?
Yes, let me add. I gave you the numbers for our request and the governor's recommendation for the upcoming fiscal year, but I didn't go into the second year of the biennium, so I should tell you that as well. We requested $860,813. And the recommendation was $556,911. So basically another $5,000 up from what they were going to give us for next year. Not, you know, I mean, just, we can't keep up with increases in rents and, you know, the cost of soup, everything. It just doesn't happen.
So now the comparison with the voc rehab, that goes back certainly even before this was a separate entity.
Right, we computed it back to 98. I think that's 98. Yeah, 98.
And it was always coming out
mm-hmm.
that way.
Mm-hmm. In 98, our percentage of the general appropriation was 9.21. In 99, it was 8.58. And since then, it started going up, but still no more than 12.76.
How was the 15.5 arrived at?
That was decades ago, and we'll have to defer to Dr. Nyman to answer that.
It was one of those things. There had actually been a letter exchanged between the two agencies agreeing on that figure, and I could never find the letter, but I always refused to discuss it with them.
There you have it.
So us even throwing that number out is, I mean, does voc rehab acknowledge that that's a number?
Oh yes,
number?
It was an agreement between voc rehab and us.
And so they acknowledge that number too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. Not very happily.
Otherwise the feds wouldn't be sending that amount of money to each agency.
Right.
Well, certainly since it was agreed on, you would think that that's the way it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. So that is the breakdown in the Fed.
That is the breakdown of the federal appropriation.
Yeah. But, you know, I guess what I'm really feeling unclear about is how is it then that got lost in terms of what the state appropriates?
Okay. Well, there's no commitment or no obligation by state officials to comply with that. The state can appropriate whatever it wants. So we're just this year for the first time really doing this comparison and realizing how, I mean, we knew we were getting less than we were requesting, but as far as how it really matched up there, we never really looked at that before. And so I think it's more of just a, you know, I don't even know if senators know that that's the breakdown, that 15.5% of Title I funds is what goes to this agency.
Well, in voc rehab, I mean, if we start pointing that out, are they concerned that the state might just say, well, okay, we'll just shift the balance. We won't come up with any more money. We'll just kind of...
Yeah, they've been very supportive of us just pretty much jointly educating our legislators that Nebraska stands to gain a lot from both agencies getting their full match, you know, and if it were the actual match, then it would be the same as the 15.5. Basically, I mean, we also have the Older Blind Program, and both agencies have independent living programs, which our ratio is 11.25 instead of 15.5. So it's a little less clear than just a straight 15.5. But basically, that's just enough to get you back confused again. Once you were, thought you and I thought we were understanding, then it gets murky. But that's the basics of it. And honestly, Frank Lloyd is the director of VR, and he's been really terrific at agreeing that we just need to make sure both agencies are funded and work together on it.
But if the legislature did say that, then, you know, what...
I don't know. But he hasn't expressed being worried about that.
Because if that took them down from what, whether they're 23 or 24 or whatever, mm-hmm. to whatever it would take them down to, see, I don't. The whole thing doesn't add up to me. I mean, I have 23%, 15%.
Yeah.
I'm totally. I mean, I really. I don't know.
Well, it all goes back to Nebraska legislature didn't have to appropriate anything, and so whatever
that's
they
right.
choose
right, whatever
is, mm-hmm. is what they choose, and we can try and bring some. Mathematical consistency is say, you know, this amount you appropriate is, you know, is not consistent with other things, and they either buy it or they don't, but at least right. it you know, gives you something to hang your hat on.
If they have an agreement, you know, one committee is bound by the decision of an earlier committee anyway. They can change the rules or change their
right
whenever they want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just as an example, back when we were negotiating the Chapter 3 language with the Attorney General person that we were working with back then, there was some piece of that that we were saying needed to be a certain way because in order to comply with the federal law. And she said, well, it's not in the state law. And we said, but we need to comply with the federal law. And she said, Nebraska does not need to have a blind vendor program, you know, so sometimes that's the attitude you get. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need it.
Brick wall.
So
wasn't it some of that on the age difference between Nebraska's?
It was one of those things. It's been long enough now, I don't remember what exactly, but it was one of those things.
Well, it bounds to be an interesting budgetary year.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's really going to be important for people to communicate with your senators individually, and you know, I always hesitate as the agency director to get involved too much. Obviously, budget hearings, you know, I'm there to tell our story and so on, but it's just so much more important for consumers to get the word to people. That's what really, and to the governor for that matter.
And also the legislators listen more to consumers because, you know, if just the bureaucrats come to them, the first reaction will say, all you want to do is just set your job.
That's right. Yeah. And they hear it from every agency. We're mm-hmm. great, you should fund us,
mm-hmm.
and here's what we want. So.
Okay, well, you know, I may be asking more questions before the hearing comes, just to have a...
Sure, I'll do my best any time.
A little more of a clue. I mean, I understand the basic concept, I think, but, you know, some of those numbers are still tremendously confusing to me, and I need to try to figure them out a little more, I think. Is there anything else on the budget?
I didn't have anything else.
Okay, we all definitely need to get there and to do our best at explaining what part of it we understand. You know, sometimes I want to try to understand the whole thing of something before I feel comfortable talking with lawmakers about it, and I need to remind myself, and I might as well, you know, remind everybody else while I'm at it, that we don't, as consumers, we don't have to understand all of the ins and outs of it. What they need to hear from us is that services are affected by what they do, and that if they cut, then people are going to be coming to them with a different kind of a concern from a population that is not being served, has less of a chance to be employed, and is unable to be on the tax paying end of things. And any of us understands that from a very personal level. And so, you know, I I intend to go there and to do my best to talk with them from my perspective, even if it isn't totally understanding all of the numerical ins and outs of percentages. Okay, the next item is the website update. And
excuse me, it's sure. 10:40.
Oh,
I mean 11:40.
Okay, well, we will do that. That will be the first thing we do after the break, and the break will end at 12:10 as we talked about, because we are on time with that. So we've got.
Do we need, Val, do we need to tell anybody anything? Does she need
Give me 2 minutes to get it ready.
Okay.